Performing an Active Directory migration to the cloud can be quite an ordeal, not only to execute, but also to plan. There are so many elements that need to match up precisely, from identities through to passwords, and all of this must be done seamlessly and with no disruption to the people who rely on Teams, SharePoint, and other solutions to help them carry on with their work. Mark Rochester knows this very well. As a cloud architect, he's the expert you call when you need the move to happen successfully. He joined me recently to discuss some of the finer points of conducting a migration and what he is looking for in BitTitan's new MigrationWiz Active Directory migration solution. So first off, Mark, welcome to the Cloud Tweaks podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Very, very happy to be here. Thanks for inviting us, and yeah, very good.
Let's talk first about yourself. What is your relationship to BitTitan, and what keeps you busy?
Well, I think the relationship goes back a long way. To be honest, I was using BitTitan products for many years. I do architecture for cloud migrations. I do get to turn the screws, but really nowadays it's really about architecting these very large enterprise-grade migrations and really just getting them across the line. There's plenty of work to do out there in that stage, so it does keep me very busy, yes.
To me, it always seems like a project that is laced with a good measure of risk. When I think of migrating data from one system to another, I always picture that old magician's trick of the nicely set dinner table where you pull the tablecloth out while keeping all the plates and glasses perfectly in place. So when you're talking about migration, what has changed over the last, let's say, since the peak pandemic period of 2020, 2021, when so much more demand was placed on computing in the cloud generally? What have we seen changing over the last couple of years?
I think in terms of migrations and the IT world as a whole, in that from 2020 going onwards, the main thing we see is that migrations have been around forever. In fact, I've been doing migrations 30 plus years, always moving something to somewhere else. And that's always been the key. Now we do a lot of cloud to cloud migrations, and there's still some on-premise work there as well. But what really changed from a pandemic point of view in 2020 was that a lot of companies were forced into things very, very quickly, and you had to take on Zoom or Teams or all these other workloads in the cloud very quickly. And now we're starting to go back over the top of it and put that more security and governance and things on there, and really going back and not necessarily fixing what we did back in when we did all the initial work, but definitely putting some constraints around it to make it better and make it more secure for these users. So there's a lot of work in that space for sure.
Has the demand reduced any? I imagine it has not.
No.
So you're getting back into fixing things?
Well, exactly. Because what you find is that there's always going to be companies that are buying other companies or selling parts of their business and all of that piece. And that stuff needs to be moved around. You need to then pick things up and move them to different places. And that's really where these sort of tools and these systems come in. And that's where we come in, like myself as a cloud architect, to say, hey, how should we do this? How are we going to move this from one place to another? And what tools are we going to use to do that?
Is this something you can do by yourself, or do you head up a team? What's the structure for doing this in an average company?
Well, I guess it depends on what you think with an average company, because there's always there's lots of small businesses that are doing this, and you might have a very small place, might be 50 people or 100 people, and they're being purchased by somebody else, and therefore you've got to take that everything they have and ingest it into a different tenant. Or you might have a client that's got 60, 70,000 people, and they want to, again, consolidate or divest particular parts of their business and things. So if it's a small one, you probably would end up doing it. You could do it yourself. I mean, with these sort of tools that we've got in play here, you could take a company, 50, 100 people, and do it over a weekend. Really, you could. There's no way you do a 50,000 user client in that sort of time frame. You need to have good people around you. There's so many facets to a migration once you get into that sort of stage that you really need to look at and think, okay, who do I need to help me on this?
So to clarify, where BitTitan fits into this, obviously, this is about migration. But in terms of the elevator description, if someone was to ask, who is BitTitan, how would you answer?
I guess you might say if you've got a package to go from a warehouse to a client's house, you kind of need a delivery driver. And I won't drop any names in here, but I think you know what we're talking about. Somebody that's going to pick up that package and deliver it somewhere else. They don't need to see what's inside it. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just lift and shift. And really, from a cloud-to-cloud perspective, that's where the tool, the migration tool that BitTitan have, provides that lift and shift mechanism. So without that, I mean, you could walk it there yourself. You could do it manually and just pick it up and walk it across or whatever. But using a delivery service, that's the most efficient way to do it, especially if you've got 1,000 or 2,000 packages you want to move. That's where you want to play with that.
So the pandemic can't help but be a milestone in human history in so many different ways. We measure a lot of things by what happened then. We talked about it briefly before, but in terms of work habits that have changed since then, I mean, from the outside, we watch companies now wrestling with back to work or hybrid work or work from home situations, meaning we're looking at vastly different ways of working, which may not include everyone showing up at the same building on the same server with the same security inside those same walls. So how have you seen these changes in work habits actually forcing the IT space to adapt?
I think the whole work from home and the return to office is probably the bigger story here. Because if you don't have people in the office, there's a lot of infrastructure that you don't need. And therefore, there are companies out there that do not have offices and they just don't need them. They don't need all of those facilities. What you have, though, is you do have companies that have had those facilities in the past and they're still running because all the servers and infrastructure, I mean, that just has to stay. And it just so means that all those people have access to them remotely and they have access to them from the cloud and the like. So really, from an IT perspective, whether the users are inside or outside the building, if the system's set up correctly, we don't really mind. It doesn't have a big play for us. What does have a play is when they decide we want to start decommissioning those buildings. Okay, we've got to take things out now. We've got to say, well, what are we going to do with all that kit and that infrastructure? How does it support people now? How is it best to support people in the cloud? And that's where a lot of those migrations come in about moving things around.
I can imagine then from the perspective of a manager or a C-level person that there may be a lot to worry about. And obviously, this is why they call in professionals such as yourself and BitTitan to take care of it. But in terms of the kinds of things you have seen in the past where things have not gone well, not under your own command, of course, but I'm sure it's wise for organizations that are considering their migration options to think about why they should go a certain route, why they should consider a particular kind of migration technology and partner. And in doing that, they should think about the dangers that they're avoiding, perhaps by bringing in professionals like yourself and BitTitan. So to that end, what would be, in your experience, some of the great horror stories of cloud migration that people should be aware of?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, there are plenty, especially. Okay, let's put it this way. If you're going to dig a hole, right, you've got to size up the hole and you can say, hey, I need a tool to do it. Right? Now, just because you have a tool, just because you have a spade, doesn't actually mean you're any good at digging holes. I had one client, and we were talking to them about a huge migration we're going to do, and they said, "Well, so you're going to use a tool?" I said, "Yes. We'll most likely go with the MigrationWiz tool, and we'll just use it." And they said, "Oh, yes, we know that tool. It does it all for you. So why do we need you then?" Right. Okay. And it took me back a bit, and I actually just then had to put that comment in to say, "Well, you're just like going to Home Depot or wherever and you're buying a spade. That doesn't make you any good at using the spade. And it doesn't mean that you've still got to work out what the hole is going to look like, because these migration tools are exactly that. They're tools. And you've got to use them the best way you can. And it's when people don't use them correctly, they can get themselves into a lot of trouble, especially if they're going to dig that hole quite wrong. So from a horror story perspective, yeah, I've seen some migrations go quite badly. I always used to get called in as kind of like a fireman in previous roles to say, hey, you know, could you go fix this? And some of the things that even the IT staff were doing is like, why are you doing it that way? It's just not going to work for you. And the worst thing we can do is take systems down so people can't access them. What people need to remember in IT is that if you don't need to call IT, that's a good thing. Right. But then, of course, they say, well, what do we pay you for? So you don't actually need to call us. We should be that invisible resource that it just keeps everything running. When it doesn't and people lose the ability to do their day job, that's when there's a huge problem. And that's what we really need to avoid. And there's lots of places where, you know, things haven't worked in a migration. They just haven't designed it correctly, haven't thought about it. And of course, it all just turns to, you know what I'm going to say. It goes bad.
Yeah, one of the thoughts that comes to my mind when you're talking about that is Y2K, which is where I got started in the business way back when very few people understood what it actually was. And of course, the fact that the Y2K preparations worked successfully, everyone said, well, what was the big deal? Nothing happened. So why was this a big issue? So yes, you're totally right. To go right back to your analogy of digging into the ground with a shovel or a spade or even a backhoe for that matter, it makes me think of all the times that a backhoe has actually cut through internet cables. So you may know how to use a backhoe, but you don't necessarily know where to dig.
Yeah.
So it's always best to have the expert come in and do it right. And no matter how boring it may be, when it comes out right, that's exactly what you're paying for, that wisdom, right?
Well, that's it. And the idea is that doing a migration should be as seamless and as invisible as need to be. And also, you've got to remember that a migration is only as successful as what the users think of it. So you could say, hey, we moved all the data and we moved all this and did all this great stuff. But if the user has lost access to something or doesn't understand how to use, they've gone from, say, Zoom to Teams and they don't know how to use Teams and they don't like what's going on, then technically your migration's a failure because they're not happy. We've got to keep those users happy. You have to make sure that when they log on to their system on that morning, they can still do the job that they expect to do. And that's one of the hardest parts of migration is to make sure the user experience is done correctly. So use all the right tools, but also let the users you've got to keep the users happy is really what I'm saying. It's very important.
Oh, very much. Absolutely. It's the flip side of the equation that you have the technological achievement, but you've got to have that social support and comfort to use the technologies.
Yep.
So, Mark, we hear that BitTitan is now releasing a new Active Directory migration solution for this year, 2024. What is so great about it? What does it do? And what does it improve over past technologies and techniques?
Well, to be quite honest, from what I've seen, obviously had some early access to the product and used it and seen it. And I find it to be, okay, we use the term exciting in IT, which I mean, yes, we do get excited about certain things. But from that sort of that nerd level, it is actually quite a change for the MigrationWiz product. MigrationWiz has always been known for the cloud, you know, the SaaS solutions, you know, Google to Microsoft and Microsoft to Microsoft. And we do have the ability using that tool to pick up things from the on-prem exchange and things. But fundamentally, it's a SaaS product. So to have a connector down to the local AD, a local Active Directory, is actually really quite relevant, especially in the way that migrations work and the underlying way we do migrations. Having that connector is it is going to be a game changer for that MigrationWiz product as a whole, to be fair.
Okay, so it's an improvement from a technology standpoint to make it easier and more accurate. Is there anything else about the solution itself that we should touch on in terms of, you know, key features and innovations, maybe that people might want to take back to their department and say, we got to have this?
Well, I think the reason that you'd want to include it in a migration strategy is that you'll find that Active Directory itself exists in, I wouldn't want to throw a real percentage out there, but it's an incredibly high number, especially if a company is of a certain age. They're going to have a local AD presence. Now, when they went to the cloud and they go to Microsoft 365, the best way and the correct way to get the identities into the cloud is to use that source of truth, that local AD, that whole source of truth for their company. And we have a Microsoft connector, which then feeds the Azure AD, or now it's called the Entra ID, for all of those items. So all of the identities go up that way. So if you're doing any type of migration work from tenant to tenant, so one 365 tenant to another, you obviously need the identities in place so you can do the migration. Now, if you have both companies using local AD and they're feeding the data up to the cloud that way, you can't just go and create those identities in the cloud on the target. You have to create local AD entries in their servers and they get automatically synchronized to the cloud and then you can do that. So previously, when we've used MigrationWiz for these type of projects, we've had to go down to the company and say, okay, we need all these objects from this AD, we've got to recreate them into that AD, and they find ways of getting them in, or we run some different scripts to try and do. But it's not a very eloquent way of doing it. We have to wait for them to be into the cloud. What this is doing is it's saying we can now pick up identities from the local AD and transport them across to the target AD without all the need for all that manual intervention and recreation and the like. So obviously when they're in the target AD, they get populated up into the cloud. Bam, we're good to go with the migration after that. So it is quite, as I say, it seemingly when you say, oh, AD migration tool, it's like, okay, great. But when you bolt it onto MigrationWiz as that extra function, that's the exciting part. And it just opens up possibilities for the tool across all the clients that we work with, for sure.
You know, some experts that describe a solution in detail like this on this podcast sometimes say, oh no, I went down into the weeds too much. But honestly, I think those are the perfect weeds because our listeners want to know more than just simply the shiny words on the outside of the box. So that was a great description of why it works so well and what benefit it brings. So let's get it straight on the table then. What are some of the capabilities that come with a new migration solution?
Well, I think one of the key things with the migration tool from an AD perspective is that the source and target AD do not need to know about each other. They do not need to be connected with a network. They don't have to have a trust in place. They can be completely separate. And all we're doing there is picking up identities from one place, processing them in the console, and then they go out to the other. Now, one of the great things there is it will do the auto-discover based on the OUs that you select. So you can make it to be very, very refined if you need to. But more importantly, what it can do then is it will recreate that OU structure in the target AD. And that is a very, very important aspect of it, is we grab a whole department or a whole geographic, however you set up your OUs, and you can basically prune and graph that across to the target AD through that SAS console. Is something that certainly I'm looking forward to using in a production sense, because previously tools just haven't quite worked that way, and it's going to be a very, very, very good thing to do, basically because it is that missing link in migration work. As I was just explaining before, it's something that we need to do, and to be able to pick up and drop like that is really the task that, as I say, I'm looking forward to using it in that production sense for sure.
The missing link in migration work. That's a really great tagline, by the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've done an AD migration using MigrationWiz. How does it then integrate with other project types?
Well, obviously the AD migration is the first part. That's to getting the identities across. And then you may have the OneDrive migration. You've probably got an Exchange Online, so you've got a mailbox migration. What you can do there is then take that AD project and transpose that into a document project or a mailbox project. So the identities that you've already picked up and transferred over, you can then perform the next workload using that same set of identities. That makes it a huge amount of work that you don't have to do setting up these projects, just transpose it into a new one. So certainly a good feature to have on that set.
Are there other features that impress you?
Yeah, I think the really, if anybody wants to use it as just an AD migration tool, then they can. That wasn't the inspiration behind the product creation, from what I can see. The underlying need for this is to get those identities from one AD to another so the identities can populate into the cloud. And then obviously translate that into other workloads, and you can get a migration done nicely because of that. But if it wants to get used as a standalone AD migration project facilitator, just in that, just in itself, then it stands alone in that. And it can certainly do that. You take OUs from one AD, pop them into another AD. And I should mention as well, it does passwords too. So, of course, you've then got that nice little function of bringing across. So yeah, like I say, AD migration, no problem. But it really was inspired to be getting the identities for the cloud migrations. That's really what the tool was designed out of the box to do.
Fantastic. So when you say it does password, you're talking about migrating passwords over without any outside intervention?
Exactly. So obviously passwords are secure inside a local AD, but we can have a need there to have that same password on the target side. So it can securely pick those up and transpose those onto the target AD. So, yeah.
So finally, Mark, what are some of the trends related to cloud and migration that we're likely to see in 2024?
I think the biggest thing we're seeing for 2024 is that companies are now using Microsoft 365 a lot more, and there's a lot more workloads that they're doing inside the systems now. So migrations are now becoming quite difficult, only because they've got all these extra functions that we need to bring across. So really, the reliance on tools to make as much of it as easy as possible, that's really what migration or the migration technicians are looking for now. It's the, how can we really make this migration as easy as possible? Because prediction-wise for 2024, we're going to see an incredible amount of the mergers and acquisitions going ahead. But I think that the biggest thing that will happen is the consolidation that will happen inside their own companies. There's plenty of clients I've seen that want to condense multiple tenants and multiple cloud presences into one place. Now, whether that's cost-based or just ease of management or whatever they want to do, that's up to them. But the part is to say this company owns all of this cloud space and we want to migrate it in and bring it into a central place. AD is going to be a natural part of that because all of those identities need to come over first. So really having a good solid AD migration tool underlying that is going to be important. And then having something that's solid, like MigrationWiz on top, to do that lift and shift of all those workloads on top is very important because it's not just mailboxes and OneDrive. There's Teams, there's SharePoint, and there's those more, I'd say more interesting workloads, but there's a lot more to them because they're not one-to-one mapped. A mailbox and OneDrive is a one-to-one mapping. That can be done quite nicely. SharePoint and Teams involves a lot of people, so there's a lot more work around that. But that's what we'll see. We'll see companies shifting, consolidating down into tenants, and the continuation, like I say, of the mergers and acquisitions, divestitures. Look, 2024 is going to be pretty busy for us in the cloud space, that's for sure.
I know that listeners who are interested in learning more about BitTitan's new MigrationWiz Active Directory migration solution can go to bittitan.com, that is BITTITAN.com. All the information is there right on the homepage, and there's even access to a free trial, I understand. And Mark Rochester, cloud architect and migration expert, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you so much for joining us here today on the Cloud Tweaks podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, for having me. It's very nice to be here, so thank you.
Once again, you can find information about BitTitan's new MigrationWiz Active Directory migration solution at bittitan.com. Once again, that's BITTITAN.com. And as for us, you can also check us out at cloudtweaks.com and follow us on Twitter/X at cloudtweaks. If your company is looking for some great exposure to thousands of decision makers in the IT, cloud, and related industries worldwide, please get in touch. We can craft a campaign that will get you noticed through our website, social media, and newsletter channels, all of which enjoy a substantial attention. Until next time, I'm Steve Prentice. Thanks for listening.